But we begin this hour with a case of the politics surrounding teenage sexuality versus a medical consensus or an apparent medical consensus over what birth control options sexually active teenagers should have access to without parental consent. This week, the FDA once again solidly agreed that teenagers should be able to get the so-called morning after pill, the Plan B option, over the counter without a prescription. The FDA actually lowered the age recommendation from 17 to age 15. A few months ago, a federal judge essentially ordered the FDA to remove all restrictions and ID requirements, allowing essentially free access to Plan B, at odds with an Obama campaign position expressed last year, maintaining restrictions for teenagers. Now the Obama Justice Department is appealing that federal judge's decision and seems to be at odds with its own FDA as well. Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick has been following all of the legal and political sort of circuits and switchbacks here over Plan B. Todd, welcome.
Hi, John.
Now, stepping back here, it looks like the Obama position, the Justice Department position, is one position. The FDA is another position. Judge Komen is another decision. And there's even Kathleen Sebelius at HHS who expressed an opinion back in 2011, pre-election, that seems to be distinct as well. What's going on here?
What's going on is that the Obama administration, or at least different parts of it, whether they be legal or healthcare or regulatory, are all over the map, and no group, whether it's on the women's reproductive rights, women's health, abortion groups, or conservative women's groups, nobody's happy, John. That's basically what's happening right now. It's a big fight, and the latest culmination of an old fight over Plan B, emergency contraception, and nobody's happy. Let's go back to 2011, just so that we're clear, because this is a little bit confusing. Pre-election 2011, when the FDA wanted to lower the age of access to Plan B, which right now is 17, and it's behind the counter. You don't need a prescription, but you do have to ask the pharmacist for it. So you can go into the pharmacy yourself, but you got to ask for it. You can't just buy it like aspirin or even a condom. FDA wanted to lower that age, and Kathleen Sebelius, their boss, Secretary of HHS, said no. We're leaving it at 17. That has been the policy ever since. Then last month, as you said, a district judge in Brooklyn said that the policy doesn't have any legal basis and said that Plan B had to be available to all girls, all teenagers, on the shelf, that there was no reason, no good data, no scientific reason to withhold it, not even behind the counter where the pharmacist has it behind a lock.
Let me interrupt you there for just a second. This, and you've reported on this really as long as this show's been on the air, this is something that this sort of dispute between FDA scientists and politicians is something that goes back into the Bush administration, if I'm not mistaken, right?
And even further, John, look, let's get to the bottom line. Abortion. That's really what this is about when you talk about the political fight. It is about reproductive health, but in the emotions of the political realm, this is really about abortion. Conservative groups, from the Catholic bishops on down, women's groups, conservative groups, still consider Plan B an abortion pill. The data don't bear that out. There's a lot of scientific debate about how Plan B works. Does it prevent the implantation of a fertilized zygote, a fertilized egg, into the uterus? If so, if you have a strict view of a fertilized egg being life, you would consider that abortion. The scientific consensus now, however, is that it does not work that way, that it prevents ovulation and in some cases prevents the fertilization itself. The reproductive rights groups say this is a contraception pill, not an abortion pill. And really, when you boil it down, that's what this is about. It's also sort of secondarily about people's comfort with girls 16, 15, 14, 13 having access to a pill that can prevent pregnancy if they're sexually active, which is a whole other issue. Incidentally, President Obama, as we know, John, the father of two teenage girls.
Well, the president actually did try to veto all that science that you're talking about with his so-called common sense idea here. Listen, this is him talking back in December of 2011.
As the father of two daughters, I think it is important for us to make sure that we apply some common sense to various rules when it comes to over-the-counter medicine.
You can hear him stepping through the political minefield there, but the judge in Brooklyn says the common sense is no restrictions, right?
That's exactly what the judge says. And now the Justice Department turns around and says, hey, judge, you don't have any legal standing to make that ruling. You can say a certain regulation wasn't done properly, but you can't set policy. Meanwhile, the FDA, with its decision the other day to lower access from 17 behind the counter to 15 out on the shelves with the aspirin and the condoms, really says, Mr. President, your common sense is fine and you're the boss, I guess, but the science doesn't bear out your common sense. The science, this FDA is legally required to rule on safe and effective. The science says girls who are 15 understand how Plan B works. They understand it doesn't prevent STDs, and they understand how to take it properly. Therefore, we need to put it out there.
All right, so let's get a little reaction here. Listen, this is Allison Howard of Concerned Women for America.
We're giving them authority as children to administer Plan B to themselves, which is ironic when they needed a parental permission to get aspirin in school for a headache. So we think that this is pretty illogical, and every teenage mom should be concerned.
The moms are concerned. I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah, those moms are certainly concerned. And this is a tough one. Again, yes, it's about abortion, but it's also largely about parents' views about what their teens are doing and should be doing. That's why you're pitting the women's groups. The women's groups and the reproductive rights groups, John, basically said the data say that this should be available to all women because they use it when the doctors aren't available. They use it on the weekends or on holidays when the doctor's on the golf course. If the doctor's in his office, you don't need Plan B. And that's sort of the crux of the argument. Now at least we know it's not ending anytime soon. It's going to continue.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent on the Plan B controversy continuing there in Washington. Thanks, Todd.
Pleasure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.